Okay, dwelling in Canaan. We're going to look at chapter 13, verses 10 through 18 today. Following last week, call of Abraham, we're going to see a few things have happened to Abraham since then. And the thing, keep in mind that when we, although we call Abraham the father of faith, take time to look at these studies and see that that faith was developed over time. He didn't get it right all the time. And for those of you and some that believe that Abraham is the model to follow, your only model is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And because he never failed in his assignments. But we're going to see today that Abraham failed, but failure doesn't have to be final. We're going to see that. But if you listen to the call of God, you and not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by taking on all that God has for you. And what's for you is for you. And we talk about God is always talking. And he doesn't stop talking just because you stop listening. God is always talking. Genesis chapter 13, verse 10, but verses 10 through 18. And if there's a 10, there had to be 9 verses before then. And what we find is that Abraham has returned from Egypt. And I know those of you that were here last week said, how can this be? We left him worshiping. But there arose a famine in the land. And what's really interesting about that is that just because God calls you and just because God has given a path for you, and just because God has made promises, remember one thing. God is faithful, but you ain't. Because no matter how good the promises, no matter how perfect the direction, no matter how well God displays his leadership, we have a tendency to see disaster and think that maybe I can do something about this. But if God has called you to something, why would you ever leave that which God has called you to?
All right.
I asked you last week, are you listening? Today, after today's lesson, you can contemplate the question, am I making the right choices? See, the thing that is going to become very evident in today's study is that when God calls you, your choices are eliminated. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Why do you need to make a choice when God has called you to something? And so he's called him to this land, and yet there's a famine in the land flowing with milk and honey, the land of promise, the land that would be the progenitor of all the seed that is to follow, succeed Abraham. You're in the land, you're in the zone, but there's trouble, that there's an issue. Hunger will make some folk do some crazy things. And I know I've come and I've been associated with Baptist folk for some 30 years now, and I know what hungry folk will do. They'll act indifferent. When you get hungry, you can't teach them nothing, you can't tell them nothing until you feed them. And that's why fellowship is such a dynamic part of the ministry here at Resurrection. We're going to eat, we're going to feed you, because we realize if you can't eat. Now you just watch. See, I noticed. They have any eats back there, Steve? See, I... No, sir. Okay. But I digress. There arose an issue. They fled to Egypt. They have now returned from Egypt. And when they went to Egypt, they didn't lose out on their blessing. God blessed them despite their mess, despite their disobedience. And he not only blessed Abraham or Abram, he blessed his nephew Lot. Lot came back from Egypt well off. And Abram came back from Egypt well off. They had cattle galore. They had men and women servants. And but sometimes when you think you are resolving an issue, you get yourself in more trouble than you'll ever think. Because just imagine if Abram had never gone to Egypt. Oh, y'all don't get it. He bought something back. Remember I told you he bought back some men and women servants? He bought back a servant with it that would cause him a lot of problems in the days to come. But they're back and they're prospering and they are back in the land that God promised them. But then in the verses that immediately precede verse 10, we find that there arose an issue between old man Abram and young boy Lot. Remember, Lot's wealthy also. Abram's wealthy. And in those days, your wealth was not counted by what type of credit cards you had. Your wealth was counted by the number of sheep and goats, camels that you had. And they had it going on, both of them. But there arose a strife amongst the herdsmen of Abram and the herdsmen of Lot. So much so, it became very contentious. And what they said was that, you know, hey, there ain't room in this valley for both of us. And so they're bickering. But just because you got favor, and just because you've got some possessions, doesn't mean that you won't have trouble. And as a matter of fact, we're going to see that Lot's possessions possessed him. And there's a little difference in Abram. And that's the backdrop to the story today, because in verse 10, it says, Abram comes to Lot and says, Brother Lot, look, it's not right that brothers should be fighting. And I realize I'm the patriarch of this family, and I know it's ultimately my responsibility to resolve such issues. It's not good for brothers to be arguing, let alone kinsmen, to be arguing and having strife over this. He says, but I tell you what you do. He says, I want you to pick out which direction you want to go, and you go. I realize I have the right now, because this is, God gave this to me. He didn't give this to you. What do you do when you have a God-given right and people seem to be infringing on it? Do you still be the catalyst for chaos and disturbance? Or do you trust God? See, Abram had realized one thing in his little trip to Egypt. I did not do all that God asked me to do, but I'm back in the land of promise, and I'll not miss out on my blessing because somebody else wants to act a fool.
All right.
Y'all don't hear me?
Yeah.
I'm gonna trust God. I'm going to end this strife because it's not good that we are bickering amongst each other. So I'm going to give Lot, my nephew, first dibs on everything. You look up, and if you see it, you go in that direction and you possess it. I'll go in the opposite direction because we need to separate. Now, there comes a time in your life that you realize God was right and you were wrong. Right. I know you want to take your family, Madea and them, but he didn't say bring them. He didn't say bring those folk into your household. He said leave them, all of them, and especially that boy Lot. But I told you last week, I'm not as hard on Lot as most people are because I understand Lot's position. If it had not been for Lot, I don't know. It was necessary. Let's put it this way. It was necessary. But Abram realizes one thing. It's time for us to separate. You need to go your way, and I need to go God's way. And that's exactly how it happened. He looked up, and what he saw was a very fertile area, green, luscious, flowing with water. And he realized one thing. Yeah. Them sheep, them goats, they can be grazing over there. There's green grass over there. I'm taking that. See, he chose exactly what he could see. He chose what he could see. And like many of us, we choose what we can see. And if it looks good, that's got to be it. Notice that nowhere in here will you see where Lot says, Brother Abram, thank you, bless you, thank you for your kindness, but I need to consult the Lord. I realize the Lord's been talking to you, but what is it that God wants me to do? See, there comes a point in time where you got to stop tagging on to the call, the convictions of mama and daddy, or your mentors, and you've got to seek God for yourself. But that's not what we do. We look for those things that look good to us. And that's how we get in a mess. If Lot had just gone to the Lord, Lord God, Brother Abram has come and he's put this challenge before me. I don't want to be a part of this strife either. Would you direct my path, Lord? What's your call on my life?
All right.
Not Abram. You called Abram. I responded because he's the patriarch of the family. I had nobody else. Daddy's gone. I looked to him. But Father, I'm looking to you right now to give me a sign. Help me make this choice. How many of us do that? See, that's what faith is all about. Faith is about checking with God even when the supposedly obvious has been thrown in front of you. I know you don't do it. I might as well give you a little tidbit here. Some of you are single. Would all the single folk just raise your hand, please, in here? And look straight ahead. Don't look around. Look straight ahead. Straight ahead. Don't look around. See? Because what happens is that many times, and even in our relationships, instead of trusting God to choose for us,
all right,
we try to trust our eyes. You know, we you know, if we're guys, we look for the Gomer in her. Y'all know who Gomer. Y'all are Bible readers. You know, Hosea's wife. You know. Fine. Sure, no, fine. But the issue is, what looks good to you may not be good for you. And how many of you are checking with the Lord on those things that look good to you before you make your move? Because if you check with the Lord, they'll look good to you before, during, and after. Keep it in mind. And Moses just happens to throw in the fact that he chose this area because it looked like what he just came out of in Egypt. See, he got blessed in Egypt. He knew it. I got to feed these sheep. I'm choosing that. That's fertile. I'm going to look down to the pentaplex, the five city area. And you know what? I want to really be, I still want to be a herdsman, but I want to be in the city. The city looks very attractive. I'm going that way, Abram. Then Lot did what? The separation has occurred. Lot and Abram are not together as traveling companions anymore. The strife should be over. It should be smooth sailing from here. Brother Lot got exactly what he wanted. Read the next verse. Abram remained in Canaan. Exactly what God promised him. Lot, it looks like, Lot forced that choice. Maybe Abraham would have chosen. No. God, if you let God do the deciding, he knows what's best for you. God is not going to put you out of that which he put you into. You haven't even possessed what God has told you that is yours. So Abram said, hey, I know God has promised me Canaan. It looks as if though Lot got a choice, and therefore he got a better choice. And Abram is pitching his tent in Canaan, and Brother Lot is going down to the city of Sodom. But, and you know what? This is not a redemptive but. He made that choice. Did he make that choice?
Yes.
He made that choice. For those of you who are Bible readers, y'all know the story. Y'all know that one choice that Lot made, it caused him a whole bunch of grief. And we get some indication of it, only if we didn't know the story, long before the story unfolds. He says, but the men of Sodom were what? Would somebody in here please explain to me the difference between wicked and sinners? See, we don't draw that distinction now. You know, you church going folk. You folk who ain't never been out there in the world. But let me tell you one thing. These brothers, they knew exactly where they were going when they found out that the city of Sodom was wicked. And notice here, it didn't say the city was wicked. It says the men. But it goes even further than that. You know, normally we talk about this general category of mankind. Here, it's very specific. It's males. The males of Sodom were wicked, and there were sinners. Wicked means that they had a moral propensity toward the perverted and the freakish. They were just flat out freaks. No doubt about it. No getting around it. He called it like he saw it. And they had an exceeding propensity for one another. And the word of God here says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners. That means the very city that Lot is going to ain't nothing, no type of city that a man who would later be declared righteous. Yeah, y'all do know Lot was righteous, don't you? Later would be declared righteous. We'll see how righteous he is once you read up on him. He goes to a wicked city because he wants to be in the party lights. He doesn't want to be in the sedate plains of Canaan. He wants to go and be near the city. And that's the way some of us do. You know, it's like years ago, after I quit smoking, I never would sit at the front of the aircraft cabin because that was too far away from the smokers. I would always sit in the last row. The last row of the no smoking zone. See, want to be close to it, but just didn't want to do it. Oh, y'all better help me. Y'all don't hear me. Because you know what? Y'all laugh at Lot, but a whole bunch of people are living. They're in the church, they're doing ministry, they're doing all kinds of things, but they got one foot in the church and the other foot in the world. And so on Sunday, we think you saints, and on Saturday nights, we think you ain'ts. Listen to Brother Lot. He's made a choice. And it says, but the men were wicked, and they were sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And you know the thing I like about this particular text? This is not an opinion of Moses, the writer. This is God. He says they were sinners before the Lord exceeding. In other words, God called them wicked and sinners. All right. And brother, if God calls you wicked and sinner, you are wicked and you are sinner. But y'all better think about that now. See, because God doesn't differentiate. Because everything you do that's sinful is an odor in his nostril. Yeah. And he says, but in Sodom, these guys were wicked. And they were sinners. And the Lord said, wait a minute. And the Lord said to Abram, notice, when Lot left, God comes back and starts talking. There's some folk that you need to jettison out of your life so that you can clearly hear what God is saying.
All right.
And some of that stuff, God ain't going to be talking to you about something he's already talked to you about. When you ain't listening to him no more. He's speaking, you're not listening. But when Lot is out of Abram's life, here's what God said. Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. I want you to look because I told you to look. You see that out there? See, God will reiterate the promises once the distractions leave you. While other folk are going off to do their own thing, God will come back and remind you, you remember what I told you? Now you look your eyes. It's all right to look. He's saying, you know, don't be afraid of looking. Lot's fault wasn't looking. You know, he was told, hey, look out, and whatever you see, you get. It was Abraham's to give. But God says, this is what I've given to you. I want you to look in all directions because all of this is yours. It just doesn't seem right. Because y'all know what happened to Lot. He was in a loving, God-fearing home, and yet he decides to go to Sodom. Abram stays true to God, does the right thing, cleaves to his calling, and don't conform to the world, and God blesses him again. He says, in other words, you can't do wrong when you're doing what God told you to do. But there's a whole bunch of wrong you can do when you're doing what you want to do. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Y'all didn't read that, so y'all may not believe me. For all what?
All the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever.
One man does not rely on God. He just makes a choice based on what he sees. The other man depends on God, and God lets him see all that he'll be blessed with. Y'all didn't get it. One man looks and he gets grass for his cattle. The other man looks and gets a legacy for his children.
Amen.
Oh, y'all know I'm back there again. Vision 2020. But why can't we have this right now? Because I'm trying to bless your seed. I blessed you in the right now, some of y'all, some of you visionaries. I blessed you. But I'm willing to bless you even more. Because as far as the eye can see, I'm going to bless you and your children and your children's children. Oh, did I say your children and your children's children's children? Did I say children? I'm talking about your children's 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 general throughout all generations. As long as there is a living anthropos, you're going to be blessed. One man looked, he saw what was temporal. The other man looked and made a choice about eternity. Christians, because that's the type of Christians we have. We have a lot of carnal Christians who can only embrace that which is temporal. Never with eternity in mind. Most folk, you know, even in our giving, we become very myopic, and we think that, oh yeah, if I give, I'm gonna get it back. That's temporal, folk. Because if you get it back, you got to get it. You got to live. You got to inhale and exhale. What happens after the exhaling stops and the inhaling stops? That's eternity. Are you going to make decisions based on that? Are you going to give because it blesses eternity? And you say, well, how can my giving bless eternity? Well, do you realize that for all of you who gave today's tithe and today's offering, there is someone that's going to get saved today. There's someone that got saved last week. There's someone that's going to get saved next week, next month, and next year. And it's because the local assembly called Resurrection was here. They heard a word here. And it is through your giving that the local assembly is here. Oh, y'all don't like that. Ain't spiritual enough for you. See that PowerPoint? Tithes and offering. Every time you see a PowerPoint presentation, you ought to say tithes and offering. Every time you see air conditioning, that's even too cold for you sometimes. You ought to think tithes and offering.
All right.
You are here. And if you don't have something that you know, we have to capture the imagination, you know, and I know that's why we got several Sunday school classes, several teachers and all, some use PowerPoint, some, you know, just use auditory, some use exchange, but we are here. And your tithes and offerings ensure that we're gonna be here, that we keep the lights on. Because even the PowerPoint wouldn't work if you didn't pay the electric bill. Tithes and offerings. And people are being blessed, lives are being saved, families are being healed because we are here. That's a blessing through eternity. Somebody's going to say, you know, I ain't never thought about going to church, but I heard that church was a little bit different at this place called Resurrection. So I tried it. And I've been here ever since. I gave my life to Christ. Gave my hand to the preacher. Well, if that church wasn't open that Sunday, if it was like a sign on the door that said, closed, rent not paid, or closed, repossessed, that means that there was no giving. So giving even blesses through eternity. The buildings will go. PowerPoint won't be PowerPoint again. But the lives that you touched and transformed through the expression of the gospel of Jesus Christ will live through eternity. So stop looking on what's good. There's a whole bunch of churches that look better. Yeah, they believe it or not, a whole bunch of them look better. There's a whole bunch of them do a lot more temporal stuff. But guess what, folks? The issue is, there's a living word that's being preached and taught here at the Resurrection Baptist Church. It's not mutually exclusively here, but it's done here. That's what's going to change lives. That's what is going to keep people from being conformed. That's what's going to keep people out of the gambling houses of Sodom. Oh, did I say Sodom? I meant Vegas. Sin is sin. Oh, did I say San Antonio? Did I say New York City? Did I say Chicago? Did I say Savannah? Did I say Memphis? Ruth Graham, before she went on, said that if God doesn't do something about America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Because we have become just as freakish. We have just as perverted. Oh yeah, what's right? There's no not right anymore. What is ain't is anymore. But I want you to look. Look through the eyes of God and see how you'll be blessed. Don't trust these eyes of yours. Because it'll be just like the song. You guys remember the song of the 50s, These Eyes of Mine? Oh, they cry every night for you. Oh, they cry every night. That, you know, that's what y'all used to tell. Brother B, I know that's what you told, you know, those people, you know, you're trying to date and get next to you. These eyes of mine, they cry for you. Yeah, yeah. And then somebody said, well, I don't want no man that cries. Well, I tell you what, if you find one that does not cry, he'll make you cry. But the land. We're looking at the land. And as far as you can see, not only will I be blessed, but all those that come after me will be blessed. Not only is it just a temporal blessing, it's an eternal blessing. And it's all about a choice. You either choose to obey God, listen to God, or you go out on your own and make your own decisions. And then blame God for the predicaments that you're in.
All right.
Let me just stop and tell y'all right now. This boy went to Sodom. A year after he got there, does anybody know what happened to him? He was raided. All his stuff was taken from him. And you know what happens when little mannish boys go out in the world thinking that they got something going on, don't know nothing, ain't got, you know what, matter of fact, got a 10 cents worth of brain with a $100 hat on it, you know. But they get out there, and then they get overtaken, and who do they call? It ain't the Ghostbusters. He had to call old man Abram. And old man Abram and his boys went down there and said, "Look at here. I understand y'all took something from my nephew Lot. You got about 5 seconds to give it back. Otherwise, I'm gonna whoop your head. Boop, sorry, you only got 1 second left." And he took it back, restored him. Because this boy went to Sodom, he lost his wife. Y'all know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? Get out of here. Because the freaks had gotten so bad, man, they didn't care. They were breaking into folks' house. They break into folks' house and say, "Hey, I understand you got a young man visiting with you. Hey, bring him out here." The man said, "Wait a minute. Hey, man, I got daughters. Pure as the driven snow. I want them women. Bring that boy on out here." These were perverts, freaks. And God says, "It's time for you to go. And anybody that even looks back, I'm going to deal with you. Come here, Lot." They leaving. They escaping. They getting away. But guess what? Once you've been in that life, you always have a tendency to look back. Now his wife dead. Post is salt. All because of a choice that he made. If he had gone to God, God would have told him, "Don't go to Sodom. It's on my list to destroy." But you see what happens when you don't trust God? But do you see what happens when you don't check with God about your purpose?
All right.
See, because we've been so used to following a certain leader and his vision, his call, his purpose, that we forget that he's no different than you and I.
All right.
At some point in time, guys, you got to get up out of here. At some point in time, you got to step out on your own. You've been sitting up here, sucking up air conditioning, taking in all these good lessons. Should have preached 10,000 sermons yourself.
All right.
Call it like I see it. God says, "Look, and you'll see what I have for you. But first of all, you got to listen to God. Because when you listen to him, he'll have you looking for him. He'll give you a glimpse of what is to come." He don't even understand. There's no way in the world Uncle Abraham, notice that color, Uncle Abraham. Ain't no way he's really Father Abraham. But there's no way that he could have seen all of this. But God shows him. And then verse 16 says, Abram, in case you're wondering how I just blessed you, you take the dust, and if you can go out there and count the particles of dust without a dustometer, he says, if you can do that, you'll know exactly how many of your people you are. But you're there. He's talking directly to you. God is talking to you. And you ain't got no children. And you're 80 years old. What do you do when God speaks and he doesn't make sense. Y'all been in Bible study too long? Because y'all know the answer. Just trust God. You trust God when you can't trace God. That's what faith is all about. Because if you can see it, you know, if I can see it, I can receive it. Shut up. God just laid something on him. But let me tell you one thing. Abraham says, I'm trusting. I know that God can do exactly what he says he can do. Let me show you something. Verse 17 says what? Did y'all understand what he just said? He made a promise to Abraham that the land was going to be his, but he didn't give him no title. Oh, y'all got to see that. He didn't give him no title. And then he told him, go inspect the land that I'm going to give you by walking the land. You got to walk the land. Because in this journey of faith, unless you're willing to step out, move from where you are, you'll never know how much you'll be blessed. Abram could have stayed right where he was, never walked anything, and said, well, yeah, God promised me all of this, but that's all he could see. On a good day, how far you think he saw? You guys got to go and really, in your study time, go read, if you really want to know all that is involved in the Abrahamic covenant, go read Deuteronomy 30, that entire chapter. It'll tell you, it really blows you away. And Israel has only claimed less than a tenth of all that God promised. Wait a minute. God, didn't I just hear you tell him to walk the land? Because I'm going to give it to you? He's now saying, not only am I going to give you what you see, I'm going to give you whatever you walk. See, many of us haven't heard to the call, so we just stay where we are. So all we see is what God is blessing right out between here and that wall. And for me, I'm just a little bit short of the wall. Everybody on the wall, I don't see y'all. Okay? You know, for eagle eyes up here, you know, they probably see past through the wall. No, but I see. At the most, I'm limited to the wall. But I tell you what, if I got to walking back there, a whole bunch of things will come into clearer view. And God says, whatever you walk, is yours. In other words, I want you to trust me as if though you've already got it. Not believe it to receive it. Trust me, walk it like you already got it. Walk it like it's yours. And the reason now that's important, there's some people out there who are living in the land. God then gave this land to somebody who's already living there. The Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Moabites, Ron Brown says the Shalites, all the mites, they were there. And you talking about walking around, and I'm just, and there wasn't no naming and claiming. Notice he didn't say speak, he says just walk. Because in that walking, he knew that he would see. See, because there's some things you just can't see unless you move toward it, unless you're willing to step out, take that first step. But it's so hard to take that first step. You know why? Because you're comfortable where you are. You know everybody here. Why go somewhere else? You realize how many folk, and the other issue too, you military folk, I'll bless you with this. You join the United States Air Force, and you have two assignments. You have two assignments in 20 years. And the reason is, when you got ready to relocate after your assignment. Well, you got three assignments. You went somewhere, and then they say, where do you want to go? Take me back to Randolph. I know Schertz and Cibolo. I want to be back in Schertz and Cibolo. Man, you know, do you realize God made both cities in Schertz and Cibolo? All right, I got y'all. I made it ready to get the rest of us. Get the rest of us also. But they told me, you are going to San Antonio, Texas. I had been here before as a basic trainee. I knew one thing. I did not want to go back there. I came back to San Antonio. Well, I've been around the world, but I came back to San Antonio. Then I got here and I saw why people get to San Antonio and don't want to leave it. Because what happens is, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is where I was called to be anyway. I don't know why I ever left it. But I'm back. But I'm back. And until God says move, I ain't moving. Y'all can raise all the cane you want to. You can have the strife. You can talk about, you know, there's conflict in the church and that. I ain't going nowhere. Let them conflict. Y'all going up. When you get through conflicting with one another, come on to Diggins Knees Sunday School class. Yeah, you know, come to evangelism class or something. I ain't going nowhere. Because the Lord ain't told me to move.
All right.
But today, if he said, T, yeah, it's time to pitch another tent. Lord, you sure waited a long time. I done served almost 40 years here, you know. How can that be? You get up and you go. Because he says, until you're willing to go on that next leg of the journey, you'll never see what you need to possess. And Abram did not give the excuse, I'm too old. Then Abram, what? Mamre, I'm a nomad. I'm pitching tents. But wherever I pitch a tent, there's certainly going to be a place of worship. Because God's been too good to me for me to get just because I possess the land and then not give him praise. There was never at any time where you see anything where Lot got down to Sodom and says, thank you, Lord, for being here. Bless me. You bless me. You done bless me. And now you done brought me to the big city. I can hang out. You know, I can check out in the burbs. And, you know, I can come in. I can feed my goats. And, you know, I can go to Sodom, get a little shot. I can check out the theaters and, you know, the movies there. I you know, they got this great bastion of education. I can go to the senior citizen over there, and I can go take advantage of all these things. Thank you, Lord. Never saw that with Lot, because everything is temporal. As a matter of fact, it almost suggests you don't even have to thank the Lord for temporal stuff, because he already said, I'll meet all your needs according to my riches in glory. The issue is you need to thank him for those things you can't see. Amen. Those things you can't put your hand on. It. He went down and he built an altar. Still being true to the call. God calls, I move. God calls, I stay. God calls, I move. God calls, I stay. It's all about adhering to the call. But with every call, you got to trust that it's God calling.
Amen.
Don't rely on just what you see. Because even in life, outside the church, what you see is not all the time what you get. Oh, yeah, some of you thought you were getting a sweet deal. Got that job. I heard you talk, oh, Brother Z, I'm blessed and highly favored. Lord, put me on this job. Next time I see him, Brother Sneed, if you could know anywhere, anybody that's hiring, I'll take a job. Okay? Because job is temporal. Even our relationships. Oh, Brother Sneed, he's the delight of my life. He's my air that I breathe. He completes every sentence. He's where I want to be, where I want to go. He's my everything. He's my figure eight. Six weeks later, that's all. Relationships don't last. 6 weeks later. But Snee, you should have told me. The only thing he can complete is a Slurpee. That figure eight is a figure O. No job, no TFIS, and definitely no driver's license. Because that's what you can see. But if you get somebody that God has called you to be, that God has called you to be with, you ain't looking. That's why it was easy for them brothers in those arranged marriages in the Far East. You know, they never saw the woman that didn't have that was not veiled. They didn't see that till the wedding night. See, because your eyes will fool you. But if it's done right, if it's certainly done by God Himself, you will always be blessed, even while you're dwelling in Canaan. Talk to you guys next week.